O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Let us worship God. Hear the word of God as we find it in the letter to the Ephesians, the fourth chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. So shall we all at last attain to the unity inherent in our faith and our knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. We are no longer to be children, tossed by the waves and whirled about by every fresh gust of teaching, dupes of crafty rogues and their deceitful schemes. No, let us speak the truth in love, so shall we fully grow up into Christ. He is the head, and on him the whole body depends, bonded and knit together by every constituent joint. The whole frame grows through the due activity of each part and builds itself up in love. Join me, please, in the responsive reading numbered 638. 638. I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That if possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, some of you that are present this morning and that have been in class with me are well aware of the fact that I'm very fond of children's stories. In fact, I'm fond of children's stories and fairy tales and folk tales, and probably more so now than I was in my own childhood. I remember specifically my mother telling me the story of Flopsy, Mopsy, Cottontail, and Peter, and the memories of that and the conditioning that I experienced to go to sleep at that time have carried through to the present day, for when I repeat that story for any of my children at this time, I find myself going to sleep. And this morning, I'd like to bear a testimony that, at least from my perspective, some of the best theology I know, and this may just say something about my limited understanding of theology, but some of the best theology I know is found in some very unlikely places. Some of those places happen to be children's stories, some fairy tales and myths. Listen to a selection from The Velveteen Rabbit, a book of theology that, it seems to me, really has something to say. The theologian I'm quoting is Marjorie Williams. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath. And most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by and by break their mainsprings and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked. "Or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or have sharp edges, or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." The insight within this passage from the well-known Velveteen Rabbit bring into focus for me four conceptual centers that I would like to call into your thoughts this morning. And these centers are a part of a larger field. And if we could, I'd like for us to think of these centers coming to the forefront of the field, one after another. These centers of focus can be identified with the following four terms: real, love, process, and ministry. Consider, first of all, the term real. "What is real?" asked the rabbit. A dictionary type of response to this question is to state simply that that which is real is genuine, natural, sincere, not merely apparent or nominal or supposed or pretended or artificial or hypocritical or affected. But the skin horse's reply to the rabbit is not of the dictionary type. In response, he says, "Real isn't how you are made, it's a thing that happens to you." In other words, one is not real because he is a being, but he becomes real because he is a being in process. It seems to me that the supreme example of this is the real God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him, we experience reality and creative becoming in uniqueness. And our own maturity, becoming more real, is measured by nothing less than the full stature of Christ. As we become real, we know more about belonging and relating and fulfilling. The second concept that I would call forth to the center of our field is the concept of love. Real isn't how you are made, said the skin horse. It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real. The context for reality is love. In Ephesians we read, "Let us speak the truth in love. So shall we fully grow up into Christ." The primacy of love, correctly understood, is at the center of reality and the center of the process of becoming real. One way by which we come to know who we are is by identifying the love which develops and grows within us. In an institution such as this, with our stress on academics, we need to constantly remind ourselves that the intellect does its proper work only when it is inspired and ordered by love. Augustine said we need intellectuality informed by love. Paul is a little more radical when he writes, "The only thing that counts is faith active in love, faith inspired by love." So it is we are loved into reality. And sometimes that process of loving hurts. Growing means changing. And changing means risking and being challenged. But as the skin horse bears witness to the velveteen rabbit, when you are real, you don't mind being hurt. Speaking the truth may be painful business, but if it's in love, you can grow from it, you can cope with it, you can live with it. The third concept in our field of four is that of process. Process. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, he asked, or bit by bit? It doesn't happen all at once, said the skin horse. You become. It takes a long time. Every so often, and much too frequently, it seems that I run into someone who doesn't recognize that he or she is in process, that he or she is becoming, growing. He may think of himself to be in some complete state, or at the most to move leapfrog fashion from one completed state to another completed state. I find this a very sobering encounter, a very sobering experience. It reminds me of the extensiveness of the unconscious realm, and it reminds me of the grandiose thinking that we are capable of in respect to ourselves. I am in the process of becoming real, even as I am in the process of being saved, or in the process of discovering who I am. Furthermore, my understanding of God is in a context of process. In Hubert Ogden's words, God is now conceived as precisely the unique or in all ways perfect instance of creative becoming. He too is understood to be continually in process of self-creation. God, who is dynamic, social, and temporal, and living, and becoming, is the God in process that I perceive. Speaking of Christ in the church, Paul says, He is the head, and on Him the whole body depends, bonded and knit together by every constituent joint. The whole frame grows through the due activity of each part and builds itself up in love. The Skin Horse tells us that those persons who have difficulty with the process of becoming real are those who break easily, have sharp edges, or have to be carefully kept. Finally, the fourth conceptual center that comes into focus for me when I think about becoming real is identified in the term ministry. The child loved the rabbit for a long, long time. Not just to play with, but really loved him. He, in fact, loved him into reality. In one sense, this is what ministry is all about. Are we not called to love people into reality? And these were his gifts, some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip God's people for work in his service to the building up of the body of Christ. My personal ministry is a life history leading through moments of decision in which some way I am challenged to determine not only whom I am to be, but whom my neighbor is to be as well. Will I love him into reality or not? Will I acknowledge my own process of growth and cultivate and nurture his? Will I choose and choose again to involve myself in the ongoing process of ministry? Will I become more and more conscious of responsibility? Every time I hear Viktor Frankl's challenge to America to match the Statue of Liberty on our East Coast with a Statue of Responsibility on our West Coast, I am reminded of the need for my development in the realm of consciousness of responsibility. In conclusion, hear these words, the words of Daniel J. Williams. Williams says, to be inauthentic is to betray one's real self with its struggling, its hopes and fears. We refuse to trust ourselves in a real relation to anything. We refuse to believe that life is good and worthy for us as we really are. Sin is unbelief, and here it is unbelief in ourselves. hear also these words. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, give us understanding minds and receptive hearts. Challenge us with the process of life that enables us to experience reality, that enables us to love and be loved, that enables us to minister to others lovingly. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.